There are people living in this community just like this woman, people who have religion, people who have set a set of beliefs and practices by which they believe they will be saved. Practices and beliefs will not save you. Only Jesus can save you. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ can save us.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing an encouraging message that I recently shared with our congregation, Holt Assembly of God. Today's message is part of a series entitled, Our Worship. The message you'll be hearing today is part one of It's Not Religion, It's Worship. In the Gospel of John, the fourth chapter, Jesus tells a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, the Father is seeking worshipers who will worship in spirit and truth. Is your worship religious? Is it about you or something else? Is your worship pleasing to the Father? My hope for you today is that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
Well, last week began a new series entitled Our Worship, and today's message is part two in the series. And this morning I've entitled this message, It's Not Religion, It's Worship. It's not religion, it's worship. So if you have your Bible, please turn to John's Gospel chapter 4. That's where we were last week. And later on in the message, we'll be in Hebrews chapter 10. And while you're turning there, I just want to remind you of a few things. I think it's valuable to revisit this encounter that Jesus has with the Samaritan woman at the well, because there are some key dynamics that occur in this encounter that give us insight into our subject here this morning. I really feel like God wants to challenge us here this morning, and so I pray that you just have your ears open to hear what the Lord is speaking to us. But again, this encounter that Jesus has at the well is very significant. There are some really good insights into the subject of worship. To give you some context, I think it's important when you read the Word of God, especially when you're tackling a subject like worship, a subject that can bring it can bring division in a church, especially when you're talking about styles and expressions of worship, that it's important when you're talking about a subject of worship. And as we studied last week, we see that Jesus challenged this woman that true worshipers of God would worship in spirit and in truth. So I think it's important to get some context. And so I would like that you don't have to turn there. The previous chapter is John chapter 3. Of course, we get John 3:16 out of that chapter. Jesus is meeting, he has another encounter previous to this encounter, and that's with Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a completely different individual than the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman, as we know, is a lady that has a reputation. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's part of the religious ruling class. He's part of the original religious establishment of his day. And so he has a much different encounter with Jesus, but nonetheless, he has an encounter. And if you'll recall, in that encounter, Jesus speaks to him, or excuse me, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and expresses faith in him. He says, listen, I believe that you were sent by God because the things you're doing are validated, or what you're saying is validated by what has happened, what has occurred, these signs that have taken place. So I believe you're from God. And of course, Jesus then responds by saying to him that you must be born again. If you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. It's on the coattails of that conversation, that encounter, that Jesus and his disciples leave Jerusalem, they head back north, and they're going to Galilee, and that's when suddenly, during that journey, Jesus says, I have needs to go to Samaria. What's interesting is in that conversation with Nicodemus prior, He shares with Nicodemus before he leaves and he has this encounter, and that's why it's important to see this, that before he has this encounter with the Samaritan woman, he goes, listen, I didn't come to condemn the world. I didn't come to condemn the people of this world. I've come to save the people of this world. And he makes it very clear to Nicodemus. Remember, he's part of the religious class that, listen, when I leave here, you're going to see me doing exactly what I said. I'm going to reach out to people who are lost. And so that's what it's important to have that context, because again, on the heels of that encounter, Jesus goes to go into Galilee, stops in Samaria, and if you remember, there was tension there between Samaritans and Jews. They didn't get along. There was all kinds of divisions, racial divisions. There was religious tension. There was all this tension, and so there was great risk going through Samaria, but Jesus had a specific need. He needed to get to that village in Samaria called Sychar, and more importantly, he had to be there at noontime, and he had to be at Jacob's well because there was a woman there who was lost in sin. That's why he had to get there. It wasn't that he happened upon it by accident. He had to have an encounter with this woman because Jesus has come to seek and to search for that which is lost and then restore it to God. Are you following me this morning? See, this encounter, like many others throughout the Word of God, has to deal with redemption and restoration. When you see a lot of these encounters between Jesus and between mankind, that's what you're seeing. It is the offer of redemption, and it's the offer of restoration. Redemption is the act of buying something back. Redemption is the act of buying something back. Restoration is the action or the act of returning something to its original state. That's important. I hope you didn't miss that one. See, God not only sent Jesus to redeem us, to purchase us back, he came to restore us to relationship with God. Restoration is the act of returning something to its original state. The Samaritan woman, she's of questionable character. 2,000 years ago, being who she is, being a woman in a male-dominated society, she is very insignificant in the eyes of this world. But Jesus makes a purpose to go to her in Sychar. He makes a pit stop, or he makes a side journey just to get to her. Why? Because she's lost in sin, and he has came to seek and to save that which is lost. He's come to restore, and he's come to redeem. See, unless you are redeemed, you cannot be restored to fellowship with God. I mean, in order to have fellowship with God, you must be redeemed. You must be born again. Unless you are redeemed, you can't be a true worshiper of God. Some of you may have had a question there where I was going with all that. Hopefully you see it. The mission of Jesus was not only to save us, but to restore us to relationship with God so that we can have fellowship with God, so that we can interact with God, so that the distance between us and God is closed. See, reading this conversation between Jesus and this woman, it reminds me of people living here in this community. There's nothing relational, per se, when it comes to beliefs and practices. They're needed. They're part of our faith, but they are not what saves you. That's just religion. Religion cannot save you, and it will not save you, and it is powerless to transform you, and it's powerless to transform your relationship between you and God. Just having a set of beliefs and practices will not restore fellowship with God. And that's what God intensely desires. He sent his son Jesus to redeem us so that we can be restored to him. Man, that is at the heart of God, and that is at the heart of worship. Church, we aren't saved by believing facts, because we believe that our faith are not just it's not just a belief, it's facts. We believe that Jesus died on the cross, fact. We believe that he died and he rose again, fact. We believe that he not only rose again, but he ascended to the Father. Fact. See, believing those things and believing those things alone do not save you. Why? Jesus told us in the previous chapter, you must be born again. There are plenty of people in our community that believe facts, but they are not born again. Therefore, they're not restored to God. And so they have this false sense of religion. Are you following me now? And it doesn't make them a worshiper of God. Religion is powerless to establish fellowship with God. Religion is toxic to the spirit man. Here's why it's toxic. Because it satisfies the desires of the carnal man, but it neglects the encouragement of the inner man. Your flesh, under the influence of religion, can deceive you into believing your worship experience is true worship. And that's why you have to be careful when it comes to worship. That's why Jesus, meeting this woman, tells her, you must worship in spirit and in truth. God's given us emotions. God's given us an intellect. And all those things play into our worship. But at the core and at the heart of worship is spirit and truth, not flesh. Listen, our emotions, God gave us emotions, but sin has corrupted those things. How many of you have ever been led by your emotions before? How many of you know that that doesn't always work out too well? Just follow your heart. No, don't be stupid. Your heart gets you in trouble all the time. Your heart will end up buying a bass boat that you don't need. Your heart will end up with a woman or a man you don't need. The heart will buy you a puppy that you don't need. My daughter, Daddy, can we have another dog? No. What if we get rid of the one we have? No. No more. In John chapter 4, I know that was a long introduction, but we're going to go to John chapter 4, verse 19. But in John chapter 4, Jesus speaks with this Samaritan woman about her sin. And I'm not going to get to that. I just want you in your mind that we've already covered that place where Jesus has already, he's already come to this place where he says, I know who you are. You've been married, five times, and the man you're living with is not your husband. And so I know who you are. He doesn't reveal that for the sake of condemning her, does he? He reveals that for the sake of redeeming her. Why does he want to redeem her? Is because he wants to restore fellowship with her. Now, can you believe this? Jesus is God in the flesh. And he gets to meet with that which is lost. And he seeks her out and he comes to save her. Man, this is like Christmas for him. Think about that for a second. That's kind of confusing, I know, but it's his Christmas. John chapter 4, verse 19. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Verse 20. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Now again, Jesus has never met this woman in his life here on earth in the flesh, and this woman surely hasn't met him. But here at Jacob's Well, he reveals his knowledge of her sinful situation, and the result is this: she's convicted. She's not only convicted, she's convinced that he is a prophet from God, because only a prophet could know these things. So what has happened is she's verifying that whatever he's saying, whatever he's going to communicate, is from God, because a prophet proclaims the will and truth of God. That's what a prophet does. So now she's open. She's ready. See, again, he didn't reveal her sin to condemn her. He revealed it and it convicted her, but it's in order to bring redemption and restoration to her. And there are people just like this woman, in our community. It's under conviction, hear me, it's under conviction she looks for true worship and fellowship with God. It's under that true conviction that she realizes, you know what, things aren't right with me and God. Truth makes a path for real relationship. Truth always makes the path for a true and real relationship. And there are people in our community just like this. Questionable character, just like this woman. They need redemption. But if you ask them about their faith, they'll tell you and they'll share with you that they have a set of beliefs. Now again, for most of us, we don't understand that. How can you have a set of beliefs and then still have a way of life that is completely opposite from that set of beliefs? And the reason for that is we have a lot of religion. And then our religion then infiltrates our worship. Whether you like it or not, if you've been born in the South or the Midwest, anywhere where there's heavy doses of religion and churches, you are susceptible to religion. We all are. Listen, this is just not confined to this area of the country, by the way. People who think they are saved because they believe a certain of facts. But you are saved when you are born again, when you're born of the Spirit.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray it was a blessing to you. I want to encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity we have as true worshipers. Enter into the presence of God and worship Him in spirit and truth. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.